Today's shiur is dedicated for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom ben Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Tezvav, and we will begin on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. It says the Mishnah, Kainim Shani Yashin, if somebody makes a neder that he won't sleep, Shani Medaber, so he says that he makes a neder that I won't speak to somebody, Shani Mahalach, that I won't walk somewhere. If a husband says to a wife that he makes a neder sheni mishamshach, that I won't have any relations with you, and all of these situations, the halacha is hareza b'lo yachad dvaray. The Mishnah says that in all these cases, the neder is considered a valid neder, which of course one may not violate. Itma. So begins the Gemara to discuss the following situation, where somebody made a neder, and the neder was expressed by saying, "Koinem ene b'shina hayoyim, there's an iser for me to sleep today, with a condition, em ishen lamachar, that when may I not sleep today? When will my sleeping today represent a violation of a neder if I sleep tomorrow?" So what he's doing is he's attaching a tanai to his neder, and the attachment of the tanai to his neder means that if he ends up sleeping tomorrow, then retroactively he will have violated the neder today. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Al Yishin Hayoyim. This person, because he made a neder, and as the Gemara articulates the neder, is the neder is a perfect neder because he said koinem einai b'shinai, so the neder is on his eyes, and even though, as we will be learning soon in the Gemara, in order for the neder, the halacha is that it has to be on a davar sheyesh by mamish, that a neder could only be considered valid if it's on something which is tangible. Here, he made a neder which is tangible, because he made a neder on his eyes. His eyes are obviously something which is very much tangible. So therefore, the Gemara says that the neder is a valid neder, and the way the neder was expressed, it was expressed with a tanai, that if I will sleep tomorrow, that I'm not allowed to sleep today. And now Rabbi Yehuda teaches us that Al Yishin Hayoyim, that he should not already sleep today, for we need to be concerned, Shema Yishin Lamachar. Maybe he will end up sleeping tomorrow. And as we just said, by sleeping tomorrow, it turns out that retroactively he violated his nether. And since it turns out that he retroactively violated his nether, we want to make sure that that shouldn't happen. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is because the only reason the neder is a valid neder, the only reason he's not allowed to sleep tomorrow is because of a tanai. And since it's a tanai, that a tanai is not something that people take that seriously, because people don't take tanoim that seriously, that's why we have to be most concerned that he won't be careful not to sleep tomorrow, and then it'll turn out that he violated his neder. It's very clear from this Gemara that one can attach a tanai, that one can attach a condition to a neder. But Taisus in Sechta Nazar says that the halacha is that, Taisus in Sechta Nazar asks, that the halacha is that the only time a tanai could be valid is if it's something that could be done through a shliach. Something that could be done through a shliach, that's where the halacha is that a tanai could be valid. And therefore, ask Taisus, Naziris, how could ever there be a tanai by Naziris, whereby Naziris, you have to yourself personally observe the Naziris, not through a shliach. So Taisus answers that by Naziris, there is also an element that could be done through a shliach. Because the halacha is that you could send the kabbonis. We've spoken that when a nazir concludes his period of Naziris, he brings kabbonis, and those kabbonis could be brought through a shliach. So, asks Rabbi Kivagar, that's a great answer why a Tanai could be effective by Naziris. But why could a Tanai be effective? As our Gemara is clearly indicating that Tanai would be effective by Nadarim, how could there be a Tanai by Nadarim? If I take something upon myself, the halach is that I have to do it. I can't ask a shliach to do it on my behalf. So the Pnei Yeshua answers that when is there a halacha that a Tanai is only valid when it can be done through a shliach? That's only when the entire issue that we're talking about is something that's done with a maisa. If I have to put on tefillin, I can't have somebody else do putting on tefillin on my behalf. But when we're speaking about mere words, nedarim, which is the concept of our masechta, are effective just by one making a declaration. For a neder to be effective by a declaration, the halacha is you don't have this rule, points out Pnei Yeshua, that a Tanai could only be effective on something that could be done through a shliach. The Brisker Rav has a different approach. He says that when we speak about Tanoim, when we speak about condition throughout Shas, there is the actual subject that we're discussing, and external to that is the Tanai. Explains the Brisker Rav, when we speak about Nedarim with a Tanai, it's not that there's a nether and then there's a Tanai. The Tanai is part of the nether. And therefore, says the Brisker Rav, all these halachas that we learn throughout Shas about Tanoim, says the Brisker Rav, are only relevant in situations where it's not a nether. In a nether, since the Tanai defines the nether, in a case where the Tanai defines the nether, then the halacha is that isn't considered a Tanai, that's considered the actual nether. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says that even though this person made a nether, and his nether was that if he sleeps tomorrow, he's not allowed to sleep today, says Rav Nachman, we're not concerned. And Yishin Hayoim, he may sleep today. V'loy Chashinin, we need not be concerned. Shema Yishin L'machar, that he'll end up sleeping tomorrow. And if he sleeps tomorrow, it'll turn out that he violated the nether retroactively. And as we learned the Gemara, Rav Nachman is not concerned that people don't take Tanoim seriously. We know people take seriously. The Ritva and Nuka Yosef say that even Rav Nachman, who is concerned that people don't take the Tanoim seriously, it's not that they don't take Tanoim seriously. Rav Nachman is not concerned that somebody's going to say something that he doesn't mean to do. He says, since, and we're going to be speaking about this in our shir, sleeping is not something that we have total control over. And sometimes a person is just tired, and because he's tired, he falls asleep. That's why we have to be more concerned by sleeping than we're anywhere else. And that's why by this Tanai that we're speaking in our Gemara, we're more concerned. Tosfos says that sleeping is some. Tosfos says that what is Rav Nachman's opinion? The Rav Nachman's opinion is that people do take Tanaim seriously. The point that we just made, that sleep is not something that we have total control over, says Tosfos, since it's only sleeping for one day, and we're going to learn in the shir later, people could do different types of things to prevent themselves from sleeping for one day. They could poke themselves or different things, and therefore we're not concerned. So the Achrayim ask a very fundamental question. We know that one is never over a lav in the Raisa. It's not considered that he violated a lav unless he was given a straw. So the question is, in this case that we're discussing, where a person said he made a nether, he wouldn't sleep today if he sleeps tomorrow. And let's say he goes to sleep today. When we give him a straw and tell him, you may not go to sleep today, why is that considered a valid hasra? when we're giving the asra, it's only going to be considered they violated the nether if tomorrow he ends up sleeping. But at this moment that he's going to go to sleep, we don't know that that's going to happen. If we don't know at this moment that he's going to sleep that that's going to happen tomorrow, why wouldn't this be considered asra safek? So the Sefer Mitzvah Eisin explains, when do we say asra safek? Asra safek is, well, we don't know for sure if what he's going to do will turn out to be doing an aveira. Therefore, since we can't be certain what he's doing is going to be considered an aveira, that's going to be considered a asra safek. Going to sleep tomorrow, that's not considered that you're going to do something, and now I don't know, are you going to do it or not? Since sleep comes naturally to a person, says the Mitzvah Eisin, asra safek means that you have to do something, and I don't know if you're going to do it. Says the Mitzvah Eisin, going to sleep is not considered doing something, and therefore this would not be considered asra safek. Says the Gemara. However, in a case, says Rabbi Yehuda, that he makes another, I won't sleep tomorrow, if I will sleep tonight, then the halach is yishan hayoyim. Because there, if he'll go to sleep tomorrow, going to sleep tomorrow actually represents a violation of a nether. And as we learned, people maybe are not that concerned about tanoim, but people are concerned about violating a nether. Kilay mizdar, what are people not they're careful about, says Rabbi Yehuda? But tanoi, to fulfill their tanoim. Ava mizr, if it's an isser, that means it's an isser for him to sleep tomorrow, that we're not concerned that he'll violate. Ask the Gemara. Our Mishnah says, Kainim eni b'shina hayoyim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kainim eni b'shina hayoyim ishin l'machor, that we're not allowed to sleep today. Says the Gemara, Tanan. So first the Gemara begins in analyzing a fundamental concept in the understanding of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Koinim Shani Yoshin, if somebody makes another Shani Yoshin, Shani Mahalach, Shani Medaber, all of these cases are considered a valid nether. I did see that there's a Machloikis Rishonim, if this is considered a full-fledged nether, or is it considered a Yodis Nadarim. But no matter how we will explain it, it's considered an acceptance upon of nether. I also saw interesting discussion in the Rishonim. In our shiur yesterday, the Mishnah differentiated that by certain Nadarim that are not valid, the halacha is that they're just not valid. And certain Nadarim, Chazal said that even though halachically they're not valid Nadarim, one has to go to Rav to be matan neder, particularly in case of an Amah Aretz. So the question here is, our Mishnah that's considering it a neder. So most Rishonim are of the opinion that the neder, as we're about to explain, is considered a full-fledged neder, or it's at least considered a full-fledged Yodis Nadarim. But I did see that the Nemukah Yosef suggests that the reason our Mishnah says that it's considered a nether is because it's similar to the case that we learned in our previous year where somebody said, my wife should be also to me like my mother. But that's not Posh Pshat in the Gemara. So again, we learned in our Mishnah, Kanim Shani Yashin Shani Mahalach Shani Medaber, that these are all considered valid in the Dorm. And ask the Gemara immediately, Hechi Dami, exactly what was the wording of his nether? Ilema, if he said Kriktani Shani Yoshin, that he makes a nether that I'm not going to sleep or walk or talk, ask the Gemara, may have a nedra. Why would this be considered a valid nether? For Tanan, haven't we learned that the Mishnah teaches us Chayma B'Shvus, that Shvus have a stringency over Nedarim, Shvus Chal Sadov Shesh B'Mamish, a Shvus could be valid even if there is no tangible subject to the Shvuah, Adav Shiesh B'Mamish and Adav She'en B'Mamish. And as we keep on explaining, because the definition of a Shvuah is an Issa Gavra. The definition of a Shvuah is that I will or won't do something. So as long as I am the subject matter, that is the Shvuah's Chal. Ma She'en K'Ben Nedarim, whereas when we speak about Nedarim, Nedarim is only valid on something shesh bei mamish. Shesh bei mamish. Says the Gemara, so here, it was speaking about sleeping. Shino, davashay bei mamishu. Sleeping is something which is not tangible. So how could, so the Gemara's question is, why would this nether be a nether in the first place? Says the Gemara, the kama ena b'shinai, that he said he made his eyes the subject of a shvua, and since he made his eyes the subject of the shvua, that's why the nether has something tangible to be chal. Continues the Gemara, v'delayav shira, if somebody made a nether that he won't sleep, and he didn't put a time frame around it, mi shafkinale ad ovid isabayachal, since this is a nether which cannot be fulfilled, because it's impossible not to sleep. So why would it be a nether? So there's two ways how do Rishonim learn this Gemara. Tosfos and the Ran here learn that the Gemara's question is that a nether which is impossible to fulfill is not a nether in the first place. Tosfos, however, in Masechta Gittin and Masechta Shavuos, quote Rabbeinu Tam, where Rabbeinu Tam says that the nether is a nether, but because we know that he won't be able to fulfill the nether, so immediately it's considered that he violated the nether. We don't wait until he violates the nether, because it's inevitable that he's going to violate the nether. Because Amar Rabbi Yochanan asked the Gemara, hasn't Rabbi Yochanan taught us that if somebody makes a shvua shleish and shleish yomim, that he makes a shvua they won't sleep for 3 days, malkus, so we give him malkus, the yashin lalter. So the question is, if the person made such a shvua, such a nether, why would it be a valid shvua? Because as the Rishonim explained, the Torah says, Loisisa Shem el kech l'shav, that Torah teaches us that one is not allowed to make a shvua, a nether, in vain. And there are many different explanations. What does that mean? Some say that something which is just not true. If somebody has a wood table and he says that it's gold, that's a shvua shav. Some say that a shvua shav is a shvua when something is absolutely true. Why do you say it? If somebody says that my wood table is made out of wood, so of course that is a shvua. That's not a shvua. It's obvious that it is. And then the third explanation of a shvua shav, as the Rambam teaches us, is somebody who makes a shvua that's impossible to fulfill. And this is the type of a shvua. Somebody who makes a shvua that he won't sleep is a shvua that he can't fulfill. And if it's a shvua that he can't fulfill, the halacha is that it's not a valid shvua. So the question here is, why, if that's the shvua of our Mishnah, nether of our Mishnah, even if it's a case where he said that he's saying there's a subject matter, that the subject matter are his eyes, but still, why would the shvua be considered a valid shvua? So the Machna Frayim asks a great question. Our Gemara, as we just learned from Rabbi Yochanan, is that a shvua that you won't sleep is indeed a shvua that we're learning an invalid shvua, because it's impossible to survive past 3 days, Rabbi Yochanan said, without sleeping. But the first 3 days, one can make it without sleeping. So ask the Machna Frayim, so why isn't that considered a shvua for the first 3 days? And once it's a shvua that's valid for the first 3 days, that should make it shvua all around. Where do we have this concept? The Machna Frayim says there's a concept of koilel, of encompassing. If somebody makes a shvua on something that he's not going to eat something that he may not eat, we've learned already in Amasecht, and we will continue learning, that it's not a valid shvua. But let's say he makes a shvua that he's not going to eat something that he may not eat, and he also includes in that shvua that he's not going to eat something that he may eat. Since the shvua is effective regarding what he may eat, it's also effective regarding what he may not eat. So here too, yes, if the person said, I'm not going to sleep, so as we're learning now, that's impossible to fulfill. But the first 3 days, it is possible to fulfill. So why don't we make that? Why does that not make that shvua a valid shvua? So explains the tzois. He says that the only reason that shvua on a koilel is effective, that is, if your shvua was initiated on something where the shvua is effective, and then you also mention something on which the shvua is ineffective. So says the tzois, your shvua began as a good shvua. So since your shvua began as a good shvua, it extends even where it would normally not be a good shvua. But if your shvua was on something that wasn't valid altogether, then that's the way you worded your shvua, that even though included in the shvua is part something that maybe it should be effective on, we can't separate it into two separate categories. He gives a good example. He says, if somebody would make a shvua that he's not allowed to eat, that he's not going to eat Pesach by night, the halacha would be that it would not be considered a valid shvua. And the reason it would not be considered a valid shvua is because a person is obligated to eat matzah. If somebody would make a shvua that he's not going to eat matzah ashira Pesach by night, then the halacha would be that the shvua would be a good shvua, because the matzah that we eat Pesach evening is actually not matzah ashira. The matzah we're supposed to eat Pesach by night is regular matzah. So therefore, explains the tzois, were somebody to make a neder that he's not going to eat matzah Pesach by night, even though when you speak about matzah, it includes all types of matzah, even matzah ashira, the neder would not be effective. The only way, explains the tzois, for such a neder to be effective is if somebody will make a neder, I'm not going to eat matzah ashira. So therefore, since, as we just explained, such a neder is effective, so then if he continues and says, I'm not going to eat any, I'm also not going to eat regular matzah, so the halach is, even though that neder should not be effective, but since it was effective on the matzah ashira, it's also effective on the other, on the, it's also effective on regular matzah. But if he were to say, I'm not going to eat matzah, a general statement, I'm not going to eat matzah, the halacha would be that his neder would not be a valid neder. Here too, explains the tzois, when the person says, I'm not going to sleep, we don't look at it, well, there's till 3 days, and there's after 3 days. Rather, the way the halacha looks at it is he made one neder, and a neder which is not possible. That's the way the tzois answers the Machna Frayim's question. Rabbi Chanan, in his Sefer Kibbutz Oritz, has a different way of explaining the answer. He says, when we say that if somebody makes a neder that he's not going to sleep for 7 days, for more than 3 days, the neder is not a valid neder, but up to 3 days, the neder is a valid neder. When we speak about somebody not being able to sleep, not being able to survive past 3 days without sleeping, explains Rabbi Chanan, it doesn't mean that on day four, something happens that now I can't survive without sleeping. You can't get past 3 days without sleeping because day one and day two and day three all combine to bring us to day four where it's impossible for me to continue without sleeping. So it's not like till that they're two separate stages. There's till day four, till after 3 days, and after 3 days. To after 3 days, where you can no longer survive without sleeping, you need a day one and day two and day three. And therefore, they're all considered part of the nether that's impossible to fulfill. Ella, so the Gemara, back to its question, how could a nether, even if it's on the inayim, even if it's on the eyes, why would a nether about the eyes, the one makes a nether that is not going to sleep, be a valid nether? Ella, it must be where a person says, I may not sleep tomorrow. And the Tana says that you're not allowed to sleep today already. But as if you sleep today, you're over the nether. But ask the Gemara, as we started the shir, even though we've been having a machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman, we learned for Amrit, we just learned kol b'suri mizder. When did Rabbi Yehuda say we have to be concerned? We have to be concerned, said Rabbi Yehuda, that people are not careful with Tanoim. But everybody, Rabbi Yehuda said, is careful with Isser. And if everybody is careful with an Isser, why over here are we not concerned that the person, why over here are we concerned and not let him sleep already the first day? El Pshita, how must we understand the Mishnah? That the way the Mishnah was worded, that he said, Koimen eine b'shina hayoyim, that I'm not allowed to sleep today, im isha l'macher, if I will sleep tomorrow. And our Mishnah, and therefore, if he sleeps tomorrow, it turns out that he retroactively violated the nether, and therefore he shouldn't sleep today. So, if that's the case, that's the subject that we started the shiur today with, which is the subject of the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda of Nachman. Says the Gemara, "V'loy na'im hayoyim." Why may he not sleep today? The Gemara develops it. If he doesn't sleep today, even kinaim lemacher, even if he'll sleep tomorrow, my bayachal devara. Why will he have violated his nether? He didn't violate his nether because he didn't sleep today. Says the Gemara, my elalav. It must be that he slept today, and now the question is, if he sleeps today, if he'll sleep tomorrow, it turns out that he's over by Yachel, says the Gemara. So what is the Mishnah teaching us? The Mishnah is teaching us that even though this person made a nether that he's not, that if he sleeps today, if he sleeps tomorrow, he will, and he sleeps today, he will have violated a nether today, it's still very clear that he's allowed to sleep today. Isn't that to Yufta, to Rav Nach, Rav Yehuda? Isn't that a refutation of the opinion of Yehuda? Rav Yehuda clearly taught us that one may not sleep today if he has a condition attached to his nether, preventing him from sleeping in tomorrow. Says the Gemara, not that the Mishnah means to say that you're allowed to sleep today. Says Rav Yehuda, of course you may not sleep today because we have to be concerned about tomorrow. Our Mishnah is talking about a case, Kiktani de'inayim. If he ends up sleeping today and then he sleeps tomorrow, it'll turn out that he retroactively violated the nether. But not that he may not sleep today. And as the Ran explains the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the way the Gemara is explaining the Mishnah currently, is one should not sleep today because if he'll sleep tomorrow, he'll violate the nether. But not to mean that he's allowed to sleep today. On the contrary, the Mishnah is teaching us that if he sleeps today, he's putting himself at risk. Ravina Amaloy and Kriktani. The Mishnah is talking about Shani Yashin, my Baal Yachel, that he makes a nether that he's not allowed to sleep. They make this type of nether. We ask the question, how could such a nether be valid? My Baal Yachel, what is the Baal Yachel? That's the Rabbanon. And mid Rabbanon, even though we learned that you can't make a nether only on something sheyesh by mamish, here the Mishnah is teaching us that mid Rabbanon, a nether even on something shame by mamish, a nether even on something which is not tangible, mid Rabbanon is a valid nether. And now, explains Duran, the Mishnah's wording is very understood. The Mishnah kept on saying that if you make such a nether, you're over Baal Yachel. Why didn't the Mishnah just say Osir? That this is a nether you're not allowed to violate. Why did the Mishnah use the wording over Baal Yachel? Because the Mishnah doesn't want to use the word Osir. Because the word Osir would mean that this is a full-fledged nether, a nether Medaraisa, which according to Ravina, it isn't. That's why the Mishnah uses a different type of nether that's Baal Yachel, and teaching us that it's your over Midrabbonim. Ask the Gemara, is there such a halachic concept? Or mi ikka bayachal midrabbanan? Is there a nether that even though midraisa, it's not a valid nether, midrabbanan is considered a valid nether? Answers the Gemara, in, yes. And he says, Vatanya, we find this in a braisa. The things, says the braisa, dvarim hamutarim, things which are mutar, v'nai acherim noga ba'eser. But people were machmer. People want to be machmer themselves and not do it. One may not tell them that they're allowed to do it. If somebody accepted upon himself something which is a chumrah, one should not be matan neder, shenemar, unless there's a strong reason to be matan neder. Shenemar lo yachal devarai. Now let's think about it. This person didn't accept this upon himself as a neder. Why are we being strict? It must be because Chazal were concerned that Nebayachad Rabbanon, that even though it's not the Neder Daraisa, it is a Neder Midrabbanon. Our Gemara just taught us that if somebody takes upon himself not to sleep for more than 3 days, that's not considered a Neder because it's impossible. The Dubna Magid asks a question. The Dubna Magid asks that it says in the Pasuk regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, V'hi shamem Hashem, the Moshe Rabbeinu was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abayim Yoyim V'Abayim Laila, Lechem Lo Yochal. And the Gemara, Masechta Baba Metzia, Da Pei Vav Amabeis, based on this Medrash, based on this Pasuk, that says Moshe Rabbeinu did not eat or sleep for 40 days, Loyla Ma Yishana Odom and Aminig. A person has to follow like the local custom. Shemosh Olal Amorim, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was in Shemayim, Loyachal, he didn't eat and didn't sleep. Ask the Dubna Magid that what is the Gemara when it brings a raya that you have to follow the local custom, use the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't eat as the raya. Why doesn't he bring it as a raya, the fact that he didn't sleep? So Dubna Magid, as was his style, answers with a mashal. He says somebody once came to an inn to stay and they didn't offer him dinner. And he asked them that he's very hungry. And they said, well, we already finished eating. We don't have any food available. They said, the only thing we could offer you is to go to sleep. So he went to sleep. And after he lays down in bed, he overhears how in the dining room, they're taking out food and they're going to serve a large meal. And they weren't concerned because they thought that he was sleeping. And even though he had asked them for food, they weren't concerned because he's sleeping. But he was really up and he saw everything. So he said, now I understand the Gemara. The Gemara says that what's the raya that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't change from the local minig? It's because he didn't eat. And since the Malachim didn't eat, he didn't eat either. Why didn't he bring a raya from the sleeping? And that would also bring a raya that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sleep. So he says, it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sleep. Because if he slept, how would he have known that they didn't eat? So that's why the fact that he didn't eat is also raya that he didn't sleep. So the question that the Mefarshim ask is, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Asher Nishba LaShem, Nodir Lavi Yaakov, this is in Perek Kuflam Beis, Pasuk Beis, Em Etain Shinei La'enai La'fapai Temuna. So Shavar HaMelech made a neder that he's not going to sleep. But we're a shvud, he's not going to sleep. But we just learned in our Gemara that one can't make such a neder. Says the Chibina, so the Chibina Rav answers, let's understand the words of the Pasuk. David HaMelech didn't say, I'm not going to sleep. What David HaMelech said was, I am etein shinai le'enai. I won't go to sleep. But that doesn't mean I won't sleep. If sleep overtakes me, of course I will sleep. And that's why it's not considered something which is a it's not considered that he violated made a shvua that one may not. So our Gemara just taught us that there's a new type of shvua, and that is dvarim ha'matarim v'acherim nogabam eser, that if somebody has a minig, if there's a minig in somebody's family, then the halacha is one can't violate it. And the Rosh gives an example. He says that if somebody has a minig in his family that they don't eat meat on certain days, even though we don't even know the reason for that minig, the halacha is that he can't violate the minig. The Chashuk Echemet has a very interesting discussion. He has a discussion here where somebody always gives meiser, he gives meiser from his money, and he always gives that meiser to poor people. Now he wants to use his meiser money to give, to print a sefer. And the question is, can he do that, or does he, it was required that he be matan neder. So he says that even though the halacha is that you could use meiser money for printing svarim, but says Rabbi Yoshev, when can you use Maisa money for printing Sfarim? So Rabbi Yoshev says that you could only use Maisa money for printing Sfarim if one is convinced that that is a sefer that is truly needed by everyone, that there's a real need for that sefer. So in a situation where there's a real need for that sefer, you could use Maisa money. But if you can't know that for sure, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky said that that was also the opinion of the Chazon Ish, you can't use Maisa money in general. Certainly, in this circumstance, where you always use it to support poor people, it would be hard to be lenient. On the other hand, the Chashuki Chemed quotes Reb Shlomo Zalman in the Micha Shlomo Simen Tzadik Aleph, where the Micha Shlomo says that in all of these types of questions, where we're not quite certain if what you said is truly a nether or not, if your obligation is truly a nether, we could rely that when we say at Taurus Nadarim, and every Rosh Hashanah, when Maisa Medara, we make an announcement regarding all Nadarim that we're going to make all year round. And since we make that type of a Maisa Medara, we can rely on that, that if we want to change things, we may. There's an interesting question that the Ritvaz discusses. What's the halacha that if somebody has a certain chumrah, that he doesn't eat from a certain hechsher? If he goes to someone's home and someone's and they eat from that hechsher, what's the halacha? May he eat from that or not? Is that considered dvarim that in the category we just learned of dvarim amatarim v'acherim nagav iser? Well, I was machmer. The halacha is I have to continue that chumrah. But here, what would be the halacha? He says that we need to understand why does the person have this chumrah. If this person has the chumrah because he wants to be very careful in what he eats, but not that he believes that there's something wrong, that the other food is not kosher. So in the privacy of his home, he should be machmer. But when it's not in the privacy of his home, then he doesn't have to be machmer. He discussed, and the Paiskim discuss this subject quite distinctly. What is the halacha if somebody's family has a certain chumrah? Is he obligated to continue that chumrah? And there too, the halacha is, it depends why they accepted the chumrah. If they accepted the chumrah because they believe that that's what the halacha requires, then you have to continue that chumrah. But if it's a type of a chumrah, not because your family believes that that's what's strictly required by the halacha, but rather it's a chumrah that you accepted because it's a chumrah, then that's only good privately, not publicly. Rav Moshe, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Igros Moshe, Yerodei Chelek Aleph, Simen Samach Beis, speaks about a certain alcoholic beverage. That the question is, can you drink it? Is it permissible to be consumed or not? And Rav Moshe uses very interesting words there. It says, V'af v'ani, af shani mater, even though I hold halachically that this may be consumed, nizer ani ba'atzmi melishtois, I myself am machmer not to drink. He says, however, rak b'chabura, if I'm sitting amongst other people, shalai loy mechziki hura, that it shouldn't look that I'm not drinking and they are, hayisi shoysa mashu, levarach ha'mesuv, Kanog, then I will drink a little of it and say a l'chaim as is the minig in that place. Okay, and that's why Rav Moshe says, this is a lesson, the Ritvaz, Rav Moshe, even if you take a chumrah, the chumrah should be done sometimes only privately, it should not be done publicly. Says the Gemara goes back to discuss the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which we've been discussing in our shir. The Mishnah says, we're going to learn later in the Masechta Daf Nun Zayin, where somebody says after Sukkot to his wife, Shat Nenesali, I may not have any benefit with you out of Pesach, till Pesach I may not have any benefit from you, and tel chalabes avich ad chag. If you go to your parents' home any time from now until Sukkot, I may not have any benefit from you until Pesach. The halacha is, if she indeed went to her parents' home before Pesach, asur v'anosa at Pesach, says the Mishnah, so then the nether kicks in, and he's not allowed to have any anor from her until Pesach. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Holchel fnei Pesach, if she went before Pesach, then she won't be allowed to have benefit. Holcho, loy holcho, but if she didn't go, loy. And we're not concerned that maybe she's going to go to her parents' home between Pesach and Sukkot, and then she will retroactively have violated the nether. So we see that we're not worried that the person is going to violate the nether. Rabbi Yehuda has been teaching us in our shir that we are concerned that they will violate the nether. I'm Rabbi Abba. Says Rabbi Abba, that's, we misunderstood the interpretation of the Mishnah. The way to understand the Mishnah is Holchel fnei Pesach. If she went to her parents' home before Pesach, Asura, she then, of course, the nether kicks in. And if she violates, and if they violate the nether, where he does have benefit from her, then he'll get Malkus, because the nether is certainly in force. Loi Holcha, if she didn't go to her parents' home, Asura ba'alma, she can't have benefit from him all this time. Not midaraisa, because we don't know if the nether is going to be a nether, but at least midrabanan, they shouldn't have any connection with each other during this entire time, because we need to be concerned that she may violate the Tanai. So it is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Continues the Gemara, Amos Seifa. So let's continue learning this braisa, that Mishnah. Acha Pesach, if she went to her parents' home after Pesach, she's over by Yachal Devari. And then by going to her parents' home, we assume that they benefited from each other before Pesach, and they were over by Yachal. But ask the Gemara if the Mishnah is concurring with the way Rabbi Yehuda says we should behave, and we should not let them have any benefit from each other this entire time till Pesach, because we don't know what's going to happen after Pesach, and we don't know that she may go after Pesach to her parents' home, and then it'll turn out that she violated the nether, so that's why she shouldn't have another entire time. So ask the Gemara, v'idilayis hanil fnei Pesach, if they didn't have any benefit from each other during this entire time till Pesach, miyaka b'yachal, why would there be any b'yachal, even if she goes after Pesach? She didn't have benefit from him. El pshita, it must be that they did benefit from each other. And isn't this a proof, asked the Gemara, alma de mashani, that they are allowed to have hanor from each other, and not that Rabbi Yehuda says, well, we have to be concerned that they're going to violate the Tanai. And since we have to be concerned that they're going to violate the Tanai, they shouldn't have a Noah from each other. I asked the Shita and other Rishonim that maybe they had a Noah from each other, but they weren't supposed to have a Noah from each other. But the Mishnah is speaking about a case where they did. So says the Shita, Mishnayos weren't written about people who do the wrong thing. Mishnayos were written about people who do the right thing. And therefore, this person, if the Mishnah said that they had anor during this period, it's not because they weren't allowed to have anor. On the contrary, they were very much allowed to have anor. So isn't this Mishnah a proof that Tiyufta, the Rebbe Yehuda? So I did see that the Karen Oira asks that maybe Rebbe Yehuda said his halacha, that we're concerned about Tanayim, only in our Gemara, by sleeping. Because sleeping is something that we don't have so much control over. But everything else, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that we should be machmer. So the Karen Oira says that if sleeping is different, and only by sleeping we're concerned, why would Rabbi Nachman disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? It must be, says the Karen Oira, that the machloikis of Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda is a much more fundamental machloikis. Do we have to be concerned that people won't take the Tanoim seriously or won't? Says the Gemara. Kik Tani, says the Gemara, we have no other way of explaining. The Iyas Hani, that the Mishnah is talking about a person that didn't intend to have benefit, because as Rav Yehuda is telling us, they shouldn't have benefit. But if somehow they did have benefit, not because they disregarded what the halacha is, but it came out that they had a Noah, and now if she ends up going to her parents' home before Sukkot, they will have retroactively been over the lav. Ask the Gemara, Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, where somebody says to his wife after Sukkot, Shkat nenesli arachag, You can't have any benefit from me till next year's Sukkos, and teilchil avich ad Pesach, if you go to your parents' home anytime till Pesach. So the halacha is, hochel lefnei Pesach, if she went to her parents' home before Pesach, so then asur b'no arachag. So then she can't have any benefit from him until next year's Sukkos. Materis leilach acha Pesach. Since the nether only said that she can't go to her parents' home till Pesach, the halacha is, after Pesach, she could go to her parents' home. Holcha, but if she went to her parents' home before Pesach, asura, then she can't have benefit from him. Loi holcha, but if she didn't go to her parents' home, then she can have benefit. We're not concerned that she's going to violate the Tanai. So why? But according to Yehuda, we're always concerned that they may violate the Tanai. So the halacha should be that she should not be allowed to have benefit. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Amar Avahu Adin, Dafila Loi Holcha, even if she didn't go to her parents' house, Asura, she can't have any benefit from her husband until Pesach, because we're concerned what may happen. Holcha, if she went to her parents' home before Pesach, Asura, then she will have violated the nether if she has benefit from him, because the nether kicked in. And if she has benefit from him, it's considered a direct violation of the nether for which there's Malkus. Loi holcha, if she didn't go to her parents' home, she still may not have benefit, because we have to be concerned of what's going to happen. But if she does, it's not that she violated another. There's no ba'yachal, there's a sur ba'alma. So the Gemara asks another question, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Raisa says, Kainam kikazu alai hayoyim. Somebody says, I may not eat this loaf of bread today, and elech lamakam ploini lamacher, if I'll go to a certain place tomorrow. So the halacha is, ochal, if he ate that bread today, harezebel yelech. He shouldn't go to that place tomorrow. Because if he'll end up going, that makes the nether, that retroactively makes the nether into nether. And it turns out that he was over by yachal. So the Braisa didn't say that he shouldn't eat today because we're concerned that he may end up going. It seems that the Braisa is teaching us that he may eat today, and we're not concerned that he's going to violate the Tanai and go today to that place tomorrow, and therefore retroactively have been over by Yachal. Rabbi Yehuda says that we are concerned that he may end up violating the Tanai. And since we are concerned that he may end up violating the Tanai, we shouldn't do it today. Says the Gemara, Miktani Ochel. Says the Gemara, let's look at the words of the Braisa. The Braisa didn't say that you may eat today. The Braisa says, Ochel Tani. The Braisa says that if you ate today, the chi ochel, not that you should have, but if you ate today and then you go tomorrow, then of course you will have been over by yachel. So ask the Gemara from the continuation of the Braisa. Says the Gemara, holach, if they ate today and tomorrow he goes to the place, hareza bal yachel dvaroi, he's over by yachel. And the Braisa, and the says the Gemara, mahalach loy. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Braisa should have said, mahalach, why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, today he shouldn't have eaten. If today he didn't eat, then tomorrow he's allowed to go, because he won't violate the nether, even retroactively, because he didn't eat the bread. The Braisa doesn't say that. The Braisa says, holach, if he went. Why holach? If today I didn't eat, then tomorrow I should be mutter to go without any question. So that's a question of Rabbi Yehuda. Isn't this indicative that today I don't have to worry that tomorrow I'm going to over the Tanai? Amlach Rabbi Yehuda who did the listening mahalach. Indeed, the Braisa could have used the word mahalach. But why did not the Braisa use that word? Either the Tani Reisha Ochal. Since in the Reisha we had to use the word Ochal, because in the Reisha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're really not allowed to eat the bread. It's only Ochal if you ate it. What is the halacha? There, as we just explained, you can't use the word oichel. That's why in the Sefer we wrote the word, the Braisa used the word halach, where it really could have said mahalach if I didn't eat on the first day. Says the Gemara, the Braisa said that a person made a neder that his wife won't have, he can't benefit from his wife. But ask the Gemara, how could such a neder be valid, that somebody can make a neder that my wife can't have any relation with me? But the Raisa, one is obligated to have relations with a wife. The Ksiv, as the Torah says, the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim teaches us that if somebody has an Oma Avriya, the halacha is that he one of the ways she goes out free is by him marrying her. That's called yiyud. And the Torah says, what are his obligations with to her? We discussed this in Masechta Subis. He has to give her clothing, he has to give her food, and he has to have relations. So how could somebody make a neder against something that the Torah says you're obligated to do? Says the Gemara, the neder was said, koinem anos tashmisha chalayt. He now don't have any benefit, enjoyment. He doesn't want to have that benefit. And therefore, that neder is chal. Dom Rav Kahana, as Rav Kahana teaches us, if somebody says, tashmisha chalayich, a wife says to husband, you may not have relations with me, they have to have relations. Why? She's obligated, the Torah obligates it. But if she says, hanos tashmisha chalay, that she said, I won't have any pleasure, usr. That is a neder that is valid. The Torah obligates us to have the relations. The Torah doesn't obligate us to have the pleasure. And therefore, making a neder against the pleasure is a valid neder. And since it's considered a valid neder, the neder is chal. But of course, the Rishonim asks, the Ran asks over here, why is that considered pleasure? If somebody's having relations with his wife, because the Torah requires that we have those relations, so then it's doing it for a mitzvah. And there's a rule, mitzvahs lav lehenes netnu. So the Ran answers that there are different types of mitzvahs. It says the Ran, if somebody makes a neder that he's not going to have any hanor from the shofar, and he is a person that enjoys blowing shofar, he's allowed to blow shofar Rosh Hashanah. Because the pleasure that he derives from blowing the shofar for fulfilling the mitzvah is not considered pleasure, because mitzvah slavel and hanis netnu. But let's say somebody makes a neder that he's not going to have any pleasure from a pool, and he's not going to have pleasure from immersing himself in water. He's not allowed to go to the mikveh. He's going to the mikveh because it's a mitzvah, because the nature of going to the mitzvah is going to the mikveh means that you have pleasure. The nature of the mitzvah pruvu is a mitzvah where it comes with pleasure. So the pleasure is not something that could be separated from the mitzvah. The Rashba gives a different explanation why we won't apply here the concept of mitzvah slanas lenetnu. He explains that, yes, there's a mitzvah to have children. And therefore, when this person is having relations, he's having the relations in order to fulfill the mitzvah pruvu. But he doesn't have to have relations with this woman. He could fulfill the mitzvah pruvu with another woman. And therefore, when he does have relations with this woman, and he's having pleasure, it's a violation if they made a neder that they won't have pleasure from each other.